Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from the Sermons of George Whitefield. We began last time one entitled Intercession, Every Christian's Duty. This is the second and final part of that message. He says, and this is part three of his three-part message. Part three, I shall now proceed to show the advantages and offer some considerations to excite you to the practice of daily intercession. First of all, it will fill your hearts with love one to another. Intercession will do that. He that every day heartily intercedes at the throne of grace for all mankind cannot but in a short time be filled with love and charity to all. And the frequent exercise of his love in this manner will insensibly enlarge his heart, make him partaker of that exceeding abundance of it which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Envy, malice, revenge, and such like hellish tempers can never long harbor in a gracious intercessor's breast. But he'll be filled with joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, and all other graces of the Holy Spirit. By frequently laying his neighbor's wants before God, he will be touched with a fellow feeling of them. He'll rejoice with those that do rejoice. He'll weep with those that weep. Every blessing bestowed on others, instead of exciting envy in him, will be looked on as an answer to his particular intercession and fill his soul with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Abound, therefore, in acts of general and particular intercessions. And when you hear of your neighbor's faults, instead of relating them to and exposing them before others, lay them in secret before God and beg of him to correct and amend them. When you hear of a notorious sinner, instead of thinking you do well to be angry, beg of Jesus Christ to convert and make him a monument of his free grace. You cannot imagine what a blessed alteration this practice will make in your heart, and how much you will increase day by day in the spirit of love and meekness toward all mankind. But further, to excite you to the constant practice of this duty of intercession, consider the many instances in Holy Scripture of the power and efficacy of it. Great and excellent things are there recorded as the effects of this divine employ. It has stopped plagues. It has opened and shut heaven. It has frequently turned away God's fury from his people. How was Abimelech's house freed from the disease that God sent among them at the intercession of Abraham? But when Phinehas stood up and prayed, how soon did the plague cease? When Daniel humbled and afflicted his soul and interceded for the Lord's inheritance, how quickly was an angel dispatched to tell him his prayer was heard? And to mention but one instance more, how does God own himself, as it were, overcome with the importunity of Moses when he was interceding for his idolatrous people? Let me alone, says God. And this sufficiently shows, I could almost say, the omnipotency of intercession, and how we may, like Jacob, wrestle with God and by a holy violence prevail both for ourselves and for others. No doubt it is owing to the secret and prevailing intercessions of the few righteous souls who still remain among us that God has yet spared this miserably sinful nation. For were there not some such faithful ones like Moses left to stand in the gap, we should soon be destroyed, even as was Sodom, and reduced to ashes, like unto Gomorrah. But to stir you up yet further to this exercise of intercession, consider that in all probability it is the frequent employment even of the glorified saints. For though they are delivered from the burden of the flesh and restored to the glorious liberty of the sons of God, yet as their happiness cannot be perfectly consummated until the resurrection of the last day, when all their brethren will be glorified with them, we cannot but think They are often importunate in beseeching our Heavenly Father shortly to accomplish the number of his elect and to hasten his kingdom. And shall now we who are on earth be often exercised in this divine employ with the glorious company of the spirits of just men made perfect? Since our happiness is so much to consist in the communion of saints in the church triumphant above, shall we not frequently intercede for the church militant here below and earnestly beg that we may all be one, even as the holy Jesus and his Father are one, that we may also be made perfect in one? And to provoke you to this great work and labor of love, remember that it is the never-ceasing employment of the holy and highly exalted Jesus himself, who sits at the right hand of God to hear all of our prayers and to make continual intercession for us, so that he who is constantly employed in interceding for others is doing that on earth which the eternal Son of God is always doing in heaven. Imagine, therefore, when you are lifting up holy hands in prayer for one another, that you see the heavens opened and the Son of God in all his glory, as the great high priest of your salvation, pleading for you the all-sufficient merit of his sacrifice before the throne of his heavenly Father. Join, then, your intercessions with us, and beseech him that they may, through him, come up as incense and be received as a sweet-smelling savor, acceptable in the sight of God. This imagination will strengthen your faith, excite a holy earnestness in your prayers, and make you wrestle with God, as Jacob did, when he saw him face to face, and his life was preserved, as Abraham, when he pleaded for Sodom, and as Jesus Christ himself, when he prayed, being in an agony, so much the more earnestly the night before his bitter passion. And now, brethren, what shall I say more? Since you are taught of Jesus Christ himself to abound in love and in this good work of praying one for another. Though ever so mean, though as poor as Lazarus, you will then become benefactors to all mankind. Thousands and 20 times 10,000 will then be blessed for your sakes. And after you have employed a few years in this divine exercise here, you'll be translated to that happy place where you have so often wished others might be advanced and be exalted to sit at the right hand of our all-powerful, all-prevailing intercessor in the kingdom of his heavenly Father hereafter. However, I cannot but in a special manner press this upon you now, because all you among whom I have now been preaching in all probability will see me no more. For I am now going, I trust under the conduct of God's most holy Spirit, from you, knowing not what shall befall me. I need therefore your most importunate intercessions, that nothing may move me from my duty, and that I may not count even my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That was a quote from Paul. While I have been here, to the best of my knowledge, I have not failed to declare unto you the whole will of God, and through my preaching it may have been a savor of death unto death to some, yet I trust it has been also a savor of life unto life to others. And therefore I earnestly hope that those will not fail to remember me in their prayers. As for my own part, the many unmerited kindnesses I have received from you will not suffer me to forget you. Out of the deep, therefore, I trust, shall my cry come unto God. And while the winds and storms are blowing over me, unto the Lord will I make my supplication for you. For it is but a little while, and we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, where I must give a strict account of the doctrine I have preached, and you of your improvement under it. And oh, that I may never be called out as a swift witness against any of those for whose salvation I have sincerely, though too faintly, longed and labored. It is true, I have been censured by some as acting out of sinister and selfish views, but it is a small matter with me to be judged by man's judgment. I hope my eye is single. But I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God in Christ Jesus, pray that it may be more so, and that I may increase with the increase of grace in the knowledge and love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, brethren, what shall I say more? I could wish to continue my discourse much longer, for I can never fully express the desire of my soul toward you. Finally, therefore, brethren, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any fellowship of the Spirit, yes, and if any hopes of our appearing to the comfort of each other at that awful tribunal of Jesus Christ, think of the things that you have heard, and of those which your pastors have declared, and will yet declare unto you, and continue under their ministry to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, so that whether I should never see you any more, or whether it shall please God to bring me back again at any time, I may always have the satisfaction of knowing that your way of life is such as becometh the gospel of Christ. I almost persuade myself that I could willingly suffer all things so that it might in any ways promote the salvation of your precious and immortal souls. And I beseech you, as my last request, obey them that have the rule over you and the Lord. Be always ready to attend on their ministry as it is your bounden duty. Think not that I desire to have myself exalted at the expense of another's character, but rather think this: not to have any man's person too much in admiration, but esteem all your ministers highly in love, as they justly deserve for their work's sake. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all them that are sanctified. May God reward you for all your works of faith, your labors of love, and make you to abound more and more in every good word and work toward all men. May he truly convert all that have been convinced, and awaken all that are dead in trespasses and sins. May he confirm all that are wavering. May you all go on from one degree of grace unto another, until you arrive unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and thereby be made meet to stand before that God in whose presence is the fullness of joy, and at whose right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Amen. A farewell sermon of George Whitefield. What a man he was. What a love he had for his people and his people for him. And we hope to see him someday among the redeemed in that place. Meanwhile, we have to do what he says. We're not in that church that he's in right now. He's in that church glorified. We are still in that church vilified and in battle down here. Let's continue on faithfully, though. We have other men like Whitefield on this website that you'll want to look into, their lives and their words. We have North Korea audios, hundreds of them, actually about 800, about half of them are in the Korean language. You'll want to tell your friend that there is a North Korean escapee who many years ago did get out and became a minister and went to the radio. And these are his actual radio broadcasts. It's not all of them, but a bunch of them. I trust that you will avail yourself of these blessings. There's a North Korea photo update. On a fairly regular basis, I put a photo of the current situation in North Korea, as much as I can find it. There's a whole study on the Quran and Muhammad and prophecy and through the Bible and commentaries and just a whole lot more. I hope that you will avail yourself of this, of these blessings. Browse. Check the bookstore while you're there. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll be talking soon. Bye-bye.